Good evening. I'd like to call to order the September 21st regular session of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board at 6 p.m. As a reminder, now that we are back in person, yay, if you wish to address the board on any items on the agenda, please complete a blue speaker card located at the side of the room here on the agenda table. Please indicate on the speaker card which item or topic you'd like to speak on. And if you wish to speak during call to audience, please specify what you'd like to discuss. And okay, we've already gone over this. So hand your blue card to the recording secretary. As the agenda item comes up, you may stand. At this point, you will have 3 minutes to speak in a courteous and respectful manner to those present. I don't see anybody here, so I don't believe we have any new cards. So, Ms. Tolmy, may I please have the roll call?
Vice Chair Coyle?
Here.
Board Member Landau?
Here.
Board Member Odell?
Present.
Board Member Saleta is excused. Board Member Temple?
Here.
Board Member Wood?
Here.
Chair Clark?
Here.
Chair Clark, you have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is call to audience. I'll open the call to audience briefly, but we don't have any blue cards, so go ahead and I'll close the call to audience and move on to the next item on the agenda, which is council liaison comments. And unfortunately, it looks like Councilman Jones Ivy is not in attendance with us this evening either. So, let's see. We're just moving right along tonight, aren't we? It's awesome.
Holy cow.
Just right along here. Let's see. So, again, on to the next item of the regular session agenda. So, item number one, regular session agenda, review and approval of the April 2021 regular session meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion on these minutes? Okay, hearing none, I move to approve the April 2021 regular session meeting minutes. May I please have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Seconded by Mr. Wood. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you. All right, moving on to the next agenda item, number two, regular session agenda item number two, presentation and discussion on the $25 million Parks and Recreation Bond Projects. The staff report was provided for this agenda item. Ms. Diaz-Trahan, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, welcome back, everyone. It's good to see everybody in person, and I go by first names. I need to be a little more formal.
I'm with
Ms.
you.
Ms. Landau, welcome to the group. We've
Thank
seen you.
You
in like a 2-inch box.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good to be here. And then, you know, maybe after we're done, if we want to do a little more introductions and getting to know each other at the end of the meeting. So anyway, a lot has happened over the last couple months in the world of Parks and Recreation. The town council in May agreed to a park and recreation bond initiative. We came back in July to identify the specific amenities and facilities, and those were all included in your in the agenda packet. Tomorrow night at the council meeting, there is a bond issuance, which is basically just the process that they have to say, yes, we can now issue the bonds. And I have a PowerPoint here just to walk through this a little bit more. And rather than, what I'll do is I'll just stop after each slide if you have any questions or for clarification. Oh, whoopsie, I got the wrong one. This is the next. Uh-oh, how come it's not hitting me? Escape. There we go. I'm jumping ahead. Where are we, Marianne? Did I lose it?
Okay.
There's two there.
Just kind of over the other one.
On the left.
This one?
Yeah. Yep.
That is the left. All right. Okay. So July 7th, the council approved the bond projects and amenities to be included in this bond. So community center exterior improvements. These include the irrigation replacement for both of the golf courses. We are out to bid right now. We expect bids on the 28th of this month. The intent is to work on the Conquistador golf course next summer. So that would be the summer of 2022. And then the summer of 2023, the Kenyatta Golf Course irrigation project will take place. The tennis court resurfacing project, the tennis courts at the community center are an asphalt base that chip and crack. We do a surface treatment on them every year at about $90,000 a year. And it's just a surface treatment. It's not really fixing the problem. So what we're going to do is go out for a design and then what's called a construction manager at risk. It's just kind of a process to get these done. We anticipate the work to begin in April of 2022, and it's probably going to take about 5 or 6 months because we want to keep a portion of the courts open. So rather than, rather than a full shutdown, we still want, because we have a really large tennis community, as many of you know. We have room over here if you would like to come over here. So Council Member Jones Ivy just joined us.
Hello.
So we're just going over the bond projects right now in terms of where we are in the meeting. So that's what's happening with the tennis court resurfacing. And then once that's completed, we will go back and do the parking lot. So the parking lot will be last because there's going to be a lot of concrete and big, heavy trucks pulling in there, and we didn't want that on our new parking lot. So in terms of thinking of the staging through the construction staging, this is a project associated with the community center. Bond funding identified for any of the interior, but it's important to know, just because it's not in the bond doesn't mean it won't get done, and I'll kind of reiterate that in the next presentation when we talk about CIP. Yes.
Is that going to be post tension concrete instead
yes.
of asphalt?
Mm-hmm.
What's the life cycle on that?
On post-tension?
Yeah, is it like 25 years for those courts?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hearing. It's like it's a very long time. The courts that are at push were done with post-tension, I would think, in 2010, 2011, and they're still in.
They're
like,
still fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, anything else on? Yes.
Just a quick question, Chrissy. Any possibility or what we're doing with the empty lot that's adjacent to the entrance? At one time we were thinking of expanding that by buying it from the present owner.
You know, I know that we're talking to him, and you know, and frankly, you know, by the time we get to the parking lot, we're 2.5 years out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that can be done between now and then, but. Yeah, I mean, certainly it would be ideal.
So it's not a done deal then, yet. As far as
no, it's still privately owned.
Okay,
right,
yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay, next, Naranja Park amenities. So it's part of the council's motion for bond funding. They said at least 50% of all bond proceeds will go toward Naranja Park, and in the motion they basically said to. These are all of the amenities that aligned with the master plan concept plan. So this includes multi-sport fields, splash pad, pickleball courts and basketball courts, a pump track, skate park, paved paths, and then amenities, restrooms, rooms, and then just general infrastructure, parking lots, roadways, et cetera. So we will design all of this. We're going to be doing a design CMAR, construction manager at risk. The design RFP or RFQ, request for qualifications, has already gone out. They are under review currently. The RFQ for the CMAR, we have received bids for that, and so proposals, and so we're working through that. So we're on a pretty good pace to hopefully start turning dirt out there next summer.
That's great.
The final design likely will not look like this concept plan, just because that's just the nature of how things work and play out. And then also just understanding that the cost of construction continues to escalate. We're not seeing any relief on that. And so everything will be designed, but in terms of what can be funded, we'll have to kind of work through that to determine what makes the most sense in terms of staging things. So a lot to come, but it's definitely exciting. So any questions on the Naranjo Park amenities?
So the two fields with one are the current fields?
Correct.
Okay.
And so for reference, though, I'm going to call it a panel. So one panel is two fields.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So we have currently two oversized fields, four oversized fields, and this would be adding two more, and then this would be even more so. The way we program them, the reason they have all of these little boxes in here, in terms of a practice, you can fit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams on one of the oversized fields. Just depends on the age of the group that's playing, right? So the little ones can be in the smaller ones. Definitely tight, but it's doable because they are oversized.
Yeah. Christy. Might be going to see now, but I don't remember that we had pickleball courts. Was that a last minute or?
No, they were included in this, and so you know we're looking at that in terms of pickleball, like say the soccer fields, the multi-sport fields. A group will reserve them, and they go out there and they kind of manage themselves. Pickleball really does need to be managed. We can't just have a drop-in, so we're going back and looking at,
Which number is pickleball?
It's like number five.
So, yeah, five, so okay. Here's the basketball, and then here were the pickleball.
Six, okay.
Yeah.
Because I agree, we need more. That was always talked for the community center about trying to expand it because of the high utilization.
And that's something that we're going to assess.
Yeah, I just think that adds overhead labor there. Because you do have to manage a pickleball.
Right, and so, yeah, we're, you know, in terms of looking at the tennis courts, we're going to assess and see if there's an opportunity to maybe expand pickleball there. And in terms of, like, you know, the net difference will still be the same number. It's just there will be more consolidated at the community center, which makes sense in terms of just general management of that sport. Yeah. So, anything else on this one? No. Multi-use path connection. So there were three very specific ones that were identified. And so it's on La Cañada, on the west side of the road, connecting Lambert to Naranja. Yeah. Now, a portion of that does have sidewalk, and a portion of that doesn't. And so the intent is to put MUP... all the way for that whole mile stretch. The other one is Naranja Drive from La Cañada to the Naranjo Park entrance on the north side of Naranja. And then the last was the CDO Wash to James Decree Park that was identified in the master plan and you know, connecting the loop system to the park. That one does have some challenges in terms of private property, et cetera, but we're going to go back in and look and see if there's an opportunity where it may not be that specific, but it gets to the spirit of what we were trying to accomplish.
Is that the one that required the bridge?
It did not require a bridge. It would be utilizing the existing bridge that's a little further east.
Okay.
But then, and then going east, it goes behind the country club and some private property and... So there's some logistical challenges there.
Yeah.
But we have plenty of time to work through this. The way the bond works is you have 3 years to spend 80% So we're on pace to be able to do that. And then that concludes my presentation on this. If you have any other questions about this project, I will, as we make, thank you, are you working on AC?
Yes, I, yeah.
Good. That was just me. As we make progress, I'll bring it back to you to provide the updates. We've already done all of the community engagement because that was a whole master plan project, right? So we don't really anticipate doing any additional community engagement. But if things do come up, certainly reach out to you all to see if that's something you'd be willing to do. You know, if it is a big report, I'll put it as an agenda item. If it's just simply letting you know some updates on projects, I'll just include it in my department report.
I do have a question. So are we going to basically be sticking to the concept plan that we already approved in the master plan for what's happening around the park? Is that kind of the, or are we going to be starting from scratch again?
Well, that'll be up to the design team. There have been two concept plans that kind of laid it out very similar in nature. But the intent is to put the amenities where it makes sense.
Okay.
and programming. And I'm so I look at it from the user perspective, right? I don't look at it from the construction perspective. So when you go up and you're going to participate in something, you also, like, what's going on around you should be similar, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, throwing a skate park next to a tennis court doesn't make sense, right? They're completely different user groups. They have a completely different language. And so, you know, talking about that and how do things make sense, plus being mindful as we're moving further north of the neighbors that are further north. So, it, you know, we're looking about the amenities, not necessarily the placement yet.
Okay.
And then trying to use some of the elevation changes so that's less dirt we have to move.
Chrissy, who makes up your design team?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Who makes up your design team, member-wise?
The consultants. So we're hiring a consultant team. We have a project manager, and so they will get going. What the construction manager at RIS, the CMAR process, means we bring in the contractor, and they work in partnership with the designer and the spirit of that is to say, because, you know, the designers, they want to have this really cool, jazzy-looking thing, but the contractor's like, well, it's going to cost you this much more money if you want to do that, but if you flip it, you'll save some money. So that's the spirit of the CMAR process. So they're working in tandem. And then what you can do is you can get to a certain point of design, then they can start with the construction, and then you continue with the next phase of the design. So there's a lot of parallel working. You don't have to complete one task and then go to the next.
If I can add just a little bit to that, manager at risk is exactly what they mean. They have to get it pretty darn close or they're at risk for missing their prize. So that's the at-risk part.
All right.
Hey, Chrissy, mm-hmm. So you have hired a project manager who I assume is reporting to you, correct?
We hired a PM, and it is male. He is reporting to the public works director, but the project team is the public works director and myself,
okay.
And then the PM, and then, of course, the design team and the contractors.
Okay. Did the PM come internally, or did you find someone externally?
We found someone externally that has a lot of experience. He'd worked with the Central Arizona Project,
okay.
And had done park work associated with CAP work over the course of his years. And so, yeah.
All right. So we'll move on to the next agenda item, number 3, presentation and discussion of the fiscal year 21-22 Parks and Recreation CIP projects. Ms. Chrissy, you have the floor.
I have it again. Okay. So as mentioned earlier, the bond projects are it. That's it. There's nothing more in that bond project. But as you know, as through the master plan, there was a lot of life cycle replacement that was necessary, some adding some new things. Those amenities and improvements will be part of our regular annual budget process. And so for a cap over something to get to be capital, that has to be over $50,000 and 5 years, Joe, in terms of a life cycle?
I would love to be able to answer that for you with accuracy, but I think it's at least five. That's been a moving target over time. So is the 50,000.
Right.
So it's those not, are at least good guidelines to start with.
So like a mower wouldn't get there.
That's a suggestion.
So these are the projects that we are funded above and beyond the bond projects for this fiscal year. So I'll let you know where we are on the process. And the goal is for everything to be completed by June 30th. So, Steam Pump Ranch Garage Project. So I'm in here. This is, in hindsight, I should have put a map. So is everybody familiar where the garage is at Steam Pump Ranch? Yes, I see nods. Okay, good. So this is the interior. It's pretty rough. This is actually the garage. This is the garage floor. You can see this adobe wall here. What is going to happen is it's going to become the future home of the Recreation and Cultural Services Division, as well as provide additional programming space. So this will be the main area, reception. There'll be a restroom and a little like kitchenette. Think like going to a hotel and they have a microwave and a refrigerator. That's what that is. And then this area right here, which is basically the garage, this is going to be where we will have programming. So tables very similar to this, chairs, we can do youth programming over there. We'll work with the Historical Society so they can do programming. And then the doors, down here are roll-up doors. So we'll be able to open it so you can have sort of that indoor-outdoor programming space as well. This is office space, staff office space, and then this area is a climate-controlled storage, and we're working with the Historical Society to provide some opportunity for them to have climate-controlled storage for some of their sensitive documents.
Is the office space for the Historical Society?
No, for staff. Okay. Yeah, for those of you that know Lynn Ann Dellerman, mm-hmm. Silverthorne, she and her team will be moving out here. We had a notice to proceed, I believe it was last Monday, and we expect to be out here doing a ribbon cutting in April.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're very excited about this. Also included in this, so this is a rollover project. This was one that was budgeted last year, and when the bids came in, we're like, holy cow. So we pushed pause, did some value engineering, and then revisited, and so we're able to achieve this. Included in this is we're doing a lot of upgrades to the site because it got to the tipping point. Like, we can't do any more with the existing utility, so we had to do some upgrades. And then also with this project in the push house, we will be installing a fire suppression system and a security system, so that way the Historical Society will be able to borrow artifacts from the State Museum to put them on display. And so that's part of the State Museum's requirements in order to borrow any of their material. All right, anything else on the garage?
So the Recreation Cultural Center staff is an existing organization.
So it's the Recreation and Cultural Services, and they're a division within the Parks and Recreation Department.
Okay, and so most of their work is done at a Steam Pump Ranch, and it'll be a little more effective there?
Yes. Okay. So they're housed right now at Naranja, but the majority of their programming takes place at Steam Pump.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many square feet is that?
Oh, sheesh.
It looks so small.
I want to say it's like 1,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. This was a caretaker's. They had, this was like a little kitchen and a restroom and shower and... and then, of course, it's going to be cozy for staff, for sure. But they're super excited to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Funded this year, also at Steam Pump Ranch, is rehabilitation of the barbecue and the bunkhouses. So the barbecue is the building that's closest to, like, the garden and farmer's market. And we felt it was really important to prioritize that. One, it's in awful condition in terms of the condition assessment of all of the buildings. It's in the worst condition. But also, I mean, that area is really kind of the recreation zone, right? People go to the market, they go to the garden, they hang out in the grass, and there's this, you know, just building right there. So the intent was to restore that and get that more programmable and where it starts to help to tell the story of the ranch. So this is the barbecue. This was the party place, the hangout back in the day for the people that own this. There's a wall currently that's sort of east facing. That wall is going to be removed, so this is going to be an open air barbecue. Mm. So it'll be fun. And then there's some small spaces that anchor both sides that we'll be able to use for some small programming, and or you know rental space if you know small groups want to rent space. These are the bunk houses. In terms of proximity, over on this side is the Proctor Lieber House. Over on this side is the Push House. What right now in terms of programming, one will likely be converted into a restroom, so we have another restroom on site. And then the other, we're looking at like small programming space, but also kind of like open space for changing. So we have weddings out there right now, and there's no place for the bride and the bride party to have a nice space for them,
yeah.
Right? And then we'd put like a little sink and restroom in there, so that way that could help with that experience. And then Lenan has big dreams of having like a period piece programming, so that way people could go in there and change into costumes and then come out and do sort of.
Like a reenactment kind
of
thing.
Yeah. So that's the plan for these two three buildings. We have poster Murto McDonald that we're going to be working with. They're the design team that's done all of the work out here. So we're meeting with them next week to talk to them about the programming so that way they can get their design work on. So. James Decree Park Playground. So if you are a Facebook follower of Parks and Recreation, you know that we have two different concept plans for the upgrade. It's basically we're going to remove and replace. So there's virtually no infrastructure work that needs to be done. The flooring that is called the pour in place, the one that's there is kind of rough, so we're going to remove and replace that. Here is option number one. So this is like the larger for the older kids, the 5 to 12 year olds, and this is the 3 to 5 year old, and then same thing here and here. We're going to get new swings. The existing shade is going to stay, so we were limited in terms of height. We can't go any higher. So, for example, in Naranja, one of the key reasons that big tower doesn't have shade is because of its height.
Yeah.
But that's why we planted all those trees on the west side. So, a couple years will be golden over there. And then a few years ago, our parks and recreation department put together a fun video and submitted it to a playground manufacturing group, and they selected our video as number one. So we got free equipment, and so we're going to put a dome climber underneath this canopy. So we already have that in stock, and so we're going to have the folks do this. So we already have over 400 comments for the playground, so it closes on Thursday, I believe. And then we'll let everybody know which design we're going to have. And then, then we have to wait for it to get shipped. But we're starting early enough, so that way, we will be able to get this done. Fingers crossed, it'll be early spring. Any questions on James Decree?
So just a comment there.
Mm-hmm.
I was down on the putting green, and two guys, late 30s, obviously with kids. And one guy was telling the other that he'd just taken his kids down to Naranja, and they go down all the time, and they love the playground. So, I mean, it was an unsolicited, this is a cool thing, you need to take your kids there, and these two guys talk.
Awesome.
I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you. Thank you. Those are the best. So this is what our pump house looks like. It's pretty intense. It's a huge, massive operation, and so the replacement this year is putting what's called an AquaGen system in there. I don't know all of the technical details of this, but what it does is it makes the water more clear. So it has a visual clarity. It also is softer on your skin, and we will be utilizing half of the amount of chlorine. So it'll be good stuff.
The price of chlorine has gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, if you can find it. So fortunately, you know, we're solid on that. But so we're working. We're working with the manufacturer. We have the contract and just waiting for it to get constructed and installed. So we're hopeful to get that done by the end of this calendar year. Is that right, Marianne? Okay. And then, so Naranja Park walkway. So this is concept, right? So the real thing is going to look a little bit different. So this right here is the north field, this is the south field, and this is that hillside, the dirt hillside that separates the two. What we're going to be doing is running a potable water line down here, because eventually that will land with the park management shop over here, because we want to put some water fountains, hardscape in here with little like vignettes of seating and shade, and then of course some trees. So the water utility department we're working with them on the garage project. And so a lot of their resources are going to be with the garage project. Once that's done, then they're going to be able to come over here. So we're not going to start this until probably like February, but it'll still provide plenty of time for us to get it completed by the end of the fiscal year.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that is the end of this
segment.
I always love how the trees look like Italian beach umbrellas. Just saying. Yeah. Big green Italian beach umbrellas.
Umbrellas. All right. So, any other questions on that? No? Okay.
All right. Well, I have a question for you, Joe, since will we be able to go back to our council liaison comments?
Oh, sure. You can bring that back up. It kind of got jumped because Councilmember Jones Ivy was... fashionably
right.
late.
Fashionably late. That's right. I love your mask. Okay.
Councilman Jones Ivy, you have
Thank
the floor.
Thank you very much. And I do apologize for being fashionably late. Two things. I first want to give each and every one of you a heartfelt thanks for all the hard work that went into helping to get the final plan up off the ground. And I know it was a big disappointment when you got the vote that we did, but know that it was not a rejection of the plan, as our minds were trying to. We knew that we couldn't do all of it, but we certainly want you to know that the plan as it stands allows us to take what we can financially afford until we can afford other things and move forward with it. But you worked so hard on it that I really wanted you to know that we certainly appreciate everybody's effort, the time, the enthusiasm that went into it, because it was a total success, a total, total success. Secondly, I please need to ask if there are any volunteers for CDO, because grant night preparation is upon us. And if any of you are interested, if you have a spouse that's interested, they desperately need volunteers, would you please just go to CDO, go to their website, look for grant night, please sign up. They need gift cards for Amazon, Home Depot. They're having a fundraiser called Clue. If you're interested, it's just a really nice whodunit. that they also do every year, but I'm just asking you to please dig down deep and let's support our young people in having another successful, safe, and sane grad night. And that's it for me.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Council Member Jones-Ivy. All right. Up next will be our department update. Floor again is yours, Christy.
All right. So, the beauty of being able to talk, you can take your mask off. So we had a crazy successful summer camp this year. You know, on the heels of having to not have a camp last year, in total we had over 1,600 kids between the ages of 6 and 12 participate. And so let me give you some fun little stats. So at the community center, between the traditional camp and our ICAN2 camp, and so that's the camp for children with disabilities, had over 910 kids there. They spent 90 hours swimming. We partnered with the restaurant. They provided lunches. Parents had to pay for them, but they were so good. We had 1,800 lunches served. There were 4,410 crafts made, 9,400 snacks eaten, 16,200 golf balls hit, and 97,200 dodgeballs thrown. So that was just out of that camp. At the Aquatic Center, the Fun Fins camp, they helped hosted over 240 kids. They spent 90 hours swimming. Their stats are 420 water bottles were refilled, over 2,000 snacks eaten. They had sunscreen applied 3,645 times. They had 6,014 water slide runs and 6,835 cannonballs off the diving board.
Nice.
At Steam Pump Ranch, our Art Plus Steam camp hosted over 310 kids. They planted one tree. They had 90 hours of prehistoric canal digging. 200 air rockets were launched. Over 2,000 snacks eaten. 3,600 art projects created. And 6,000 Gaga ball kicks were completed in that camp. So they had a blast. We had to increase the numbers at the community center and camp, and it was just... it was so much fun, and the energy of our staff was outstanding just throughout. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful camp. We are back up and running for special events, and so I'm going to quickly go through them, but for more detail, just go to our website. The Friday night concert series at Steam Pump Ranch, so it's first Friday night, will be... well, one in October, one in November. We take a break December, January, and then we'll be back at it in February. So the next concert is October 1st, starts at 7 p.m. Live music, food trucks, and beverages for children and adults are all there available. October 8th is our Monster Mash, so that's the big Halloween festival. And there's a lot of community groups there, and then we'll also be doing haunted hay rides, and that'll be every Saturday in October, so the 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th.
Is there a cost for that?
The haunted hay ride? No, but you have to register.
Okay, register.
Yeah, you have to register online. Second Saturdays are picking up... I don't remember what the craft is in October, but in November, we have a lot of pallets, you know, those wooden pallets?
Yeah.
And so we had a bunch, I can't remember how we acquired them, but in July, we painted flags, and they were super popular, so we acquired them, so then we're going to do more flag pallet painting at the November second Saturday. On October 29th, at the Community Center, is our Spooktacular event. And this is primarily for the younger kiddos, and they go over there, and we do a trick-or-treat lane. And so those are just golf carts all lined up at the driving range, and they're hosted by our membership. They're hosted by our fitness instructors, by local businesses, and whatnot. And then, of course, there's all kinds of fun and games to be, and dancing and whatnot. December 4th, Sokka is hosting the tree lighting at the marketplace. So be there. We'll be there doing crafts. And then the Fast Swim Team is hosting their Winter Lights Swim Meet. We are introducing a new event this year on December 10th called Snow-V, S-N-O-V. And it'll be at the community center, very similar to the Spooktacular, but more winter holiday theme. But as I said, we're kind of back at it. And then, of course, on January 1st will be our Hot Cocoa 5K on New Year's Day. And since it is going to be 2022, our start time will be 11:22. So
good call.
And actually Marana does an eggnog jog. So they do theirs at 9.
Yeah.
And we've kind of partnered with them, so we have like this a medal. So if you do both, you get half a medal there, half a medal. And we didn't do it last year because of COVID, but we did it the year before, and I think we had 78 people do it. That was the first year ever. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was sort of fun. Also on Facebook, if you've seen, we're doing a mural project at JDK Park. Oh my goodness, what's the slogan? Help me, ladies, do you remember? Dream it?
Dream it, do it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Can you pull up Facebook real quick and demo? So the artist that we selected wanted to know kind of what the flavor of the park and whatnot. So we talked about just everything, that it was a county park, and then it became a town park. There's been Olympic athletes who learned how to swim at that pool. We have several Major League Baseball players out there. It's named after one of our founding fathers. There's just a lot of history. Oh, cool. Associated with it. So she went back and did her homework, and she liked the fact that it was named after the founding father. So she somehow got a hold of a meeting and was listening to the audio, and Jim Cree said something to the extent of, if it's a big enough dream, then do it. And so that was just go to our webpage. Our Facebook page, Marianne. Just click on the app. Yeah.
Just click on that thing.
Keep going. Oh,
there's Lillian.
Oh yeah. What was that?
Oh, we love
that
drive-in movies.
Yeah, our drive-in movie sort of got rained out this weekend. Right here. So we did a solicitation for people to also submit, like, you know, two or three words, what your dream is, and it's going to be in the background, so it's going to look kind of, give it texture, if you will. And so we're hopeful to do an unveiling in October. So we're working on calendaring with Mayor and Council. This is also partially funded by Visit Tucson and the Chamber of Commerce. So this will be the town's very first mural project. Very, very excited about that. And then lastly, the Arizona Park and Recreation Association conference is going to be up in Phoenix in November, and I'm going to be a speaker on a panel discussion to talk about master plans. So, yeah. So that concludes my report. Turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Christy. All right, next item on the agenda is future agenda items. The board may bring forth general topics for future meeting agendas. Board may not discuss, deliberate, or take any action on topics presented pursuant to ARS 38-431-02H. Do we have any items to add to the future agenda? All right, well, hearing none, I see no further business. I would like to make a motion to adjourn
at, here we go, 6:45 p.m. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Thank you, Ronald. Ron, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. The ayes have it. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Oh, we'll see you for our next meeting on Tuesday, November 16th at 6 p.m. Okay.